Emerson Show at 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Rick, did you just say that Landon... Yes, I said he lived on Vespa. I'm sorry. I know that I said he lived on top of a European scooter. Moving on. It's 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. Rick, I just got back from an appointment, this email says. Could you please catch me up on what I've missed since 11:30? Thank you. How about this? Rick, this is from a man, so-called. I actually really dig Rosie O'Donnell. I believe I am the only guy who does. I dig her mostly because of her politics and her support of gay rights. I even like her short haircut. How many IG-88 and Master Chief references do I need to make to atone for this? 749. There ought to be like a geek penance kind of thing. Hey, also, here's another great idea. There ought to be a gadget and novelty store where they just sell sci-fi stuff like little tchotchkes. Geek gauze. Not geek-gauze, but... Thank you. Throw me a rope. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, CNN radio correspondent, Los Angeles-based Jim Roop. Hello, sir. Is he gone now? Hello? Fantastic. Well done. There he was, ladies and gentlemen, CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop in Los Angeles. Fantastic. Let's... Okay. Thank you. It's 503-733-2970. Let me just get some of these calls, and then we'll do some whatnot.
We shouldn't have made poor Jim Roop wait.
He said he could wait. He said that he was able to wait.
So it doesn't mean we shouldn't make him.
Kristen says, should I try to get him back? Do you have the phone number? Do you know how to the blah, 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 blah? Do you know how to call him? I don't know why I said blah, 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 blah there. That was actually longer than saying, do you have his number? Yeah, if Scotty gave you the number, yeah, just trying to give him a... drop him a call and see how that works out. All right. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. How can I help you?
Hey, Rick. First thing, Merchant. MBNA stands for Merchants Bank of North America.
See, somebody else said that it stood for Maryland Bank of North America, and then somebody else said it was Mercantile Bank of North America. I don't think anybody really knows.
Yeah, no, they printed on the bill, but you've never looked at the bill, so somebody else.
No, I don't. I don't. It comes in the mail, and I just hand it to my wife.
The War Operations Plan Response Computer is the other thing. And finally, there's a cop car that's been smashed into by a red Chevy Blazer down at the corner of Milwaukee and McLaughlin. So you want to avoid the southbound traffic that's just all tied up.
Yeah.
And finally,
yes, sir.
Listener Party 10, isn't that right, Donkey?
That's a great idea. Let me write that down.
Yeah, Seamus and I had discussed having a T-shirt printed up and, like, just a caricature of Tim Riley sticking his head into the side of the frame with, yes, that is.
All right. Now, we had many suggestions about the... Here's the most frequently, and I think we are going to go with Listener Party 10 Emerson History X. That is what we're going to go with.
Okay.
I will say, though, the three most frequently suggested names that we did not end up going with are variations on the following. Isn't that right, Donkey? God, what else? What else? There were a lot more that were really... a lot of people suggested blah, 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 New Direction. We didn't go with that one.
Yep.
And then there was something about, not having been fired. So,
Stringy Milk Brigade. That works, too.
Okay. And we're done. Thank you.
Right.
Thank you for that. All right. Stringy Milk. Thanks. Trying to keep going. 503-733-2970. All right, here's what we got to do. So we may or may not be re-obtaining the services of Jim Roop here. But we got more from Tim Riley coming up. Top five later on, Scott Daly, Clyde Lewis. We got the Tom Likas at 3, Donna Mike at 7, etc. I got to get to this Simpsons review. So we have this review of the Simpsons film, which premiered... Well, they did it in a premiere, but they did like a sneak preview the other night. So we got to get to that. We have a couple of these, a couple final calls. Oh, and speaking of the listener party, I'm so glad that he called to remind me of this. So here's the thing. We are going with Rick Emerson, Listener Party 10, Emerson History X. That is now the name we have decided to plunge forward with. So, as we have always done in the past, though, now we are going to toss it out to you, the people, and we are asking you to come up with the logo for Rick Emerson Listener Party 10, Emerson History X. And on the line, I think it's just like a big bag of AM 970 crap. I'm not sure what might be in that. I think we do actually have our own prizes now. I don't think we're down to having to like steal
stuff.
You mean
matchbooks?
Yes. Matchbooks with fan sluts on them. I don't think we're at the point where we have to go steal stuff from KUPL anymore. I think we actually do have like a real closet with prize stuff in it. So what you want to be doing, and I'll post a thing on the weblog about this. You want to be designing a logo for Rick Emerson Listener Party 10, Emerson History X. The party happens 3 weeks from yesterday. It is Thursday, April 19th, 7 p.m. at Barracuda, Emerson History X. You send your logo to rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. And then insert your whole disclaimer here about CBS employees not eligible to win, blah, 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 blah. All entries become the submission of me, Rick Emerson, and so forth. So, anyway, so be sending your logo for that to rick@rickemerson.com, and then the winner gets a big pile of crap and whatnot. This is Mike. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up?
Excellent to speak with you again. Hey. I'm glad you're enjoying the sounder. What was it? I hardly knew it.
Oh, are you the one who created? You created the?
I barely knew her.
Fantastic!
Yeah, that was me.
I'm gonna milk all kinds of fun out of that. Yeah,
a massive amount of creativity and way too much free time, and
excellent.
That is the result. Listen, that's pretty much a non-call, but I'm moving to New York.
Thanks for prefacing this so I can know not to care right up front.
No, I just wanted to gush for a little bit. I'll make it quick because I actually gushed to you at one of the listener parties, and man, you hit 88 miles per hour away from me faster than I've ever seen anybody sprint.
I don't even know what we're talking about now. Let's stop and get a hold of ourselves.
So okay.
You're freaking out.
Yeah,
all right. So you want to gush?
I just wanted to gush. Yeah, I'm not going to be able to listen to the show anymore. I'm moving to New York, and I just wanted to say.
What is New York?
Can listen online, as many do.
Exactly. I was going to say
busy 21st century lifestyles.
First of all, what does New York City have that we don't?
Distinct lack of hippies.
Well, that is true. What is taking you to New York, if I can ask?
I've got a new job out there.
What kind of work do you do?
I'm going to be managing a closed captioning company.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's not too bad. Well, it sounds cooler than it actually is. But one of the fabulous things about this company is they actually caption porn, and I did not know that there was.
Is that true?
It's true. I swear on my mother's.
Okay, now.
She's still alive.
Awesome.
I don't want to. Now, hold on, I'm making a note to myself. All right. I guess I don't really think I own any porn anymore. And I know everybody says that is instinctively not believing me. But I don't think I own any porn because I think in the big VHS-DVD switchover, I just got rid of all my VHS porn.
I gave you some porn for Christmas.
Yeah, we all got porn for Christmas.
And I gave you some extra porn that I had.
I got a bag of pins for Christmas.
Tim Riley porn overflow. I've got more porn than I could possibly use. Here's some lesser selections from my private library. the Tim Riley collection, volume 5. Anywho, anyway, my point was going to be because of the internet. Now, most of my porn is just online porn. So when you, I don't mean to be crude or to work blue here, but when you close caption porn, obviously if it's sort of some of that porn where they feel compelled to have some kind of story and whatnot, you close caption that. But do you close caption whatever the porn actress, let's say, might be saying during the act of love?
Yeah, it gets awfully repetitive putting in like a grunt sound effect every 15 seconds to let the hard of hearing person know that the man is enjoying himself and is fully involved in the process.
Does it really say, like, in parentheses, like grunt, moan?
Oh, yeah,
pant.
Exactly. And,
that's,
you know.
Fascinating. That really is fascinating. That's like the people, like sometimes if you watch like really cheaply produced porn, like especially from like the 90s, like 10, 15 years ago, you would be watching, but when you called up, you had no idea you were going to be talking to me about porn.
I'm always willing to talk about porn.
Let's welcome, I wonder if we can we conference Jim and this guy? We'll just skip the, let's welcome now Jim. Hello, Jim. Jim Roop. Mike, are you still there? Okay, Mike, hang on. I'm going to put you on hold. Hold on. Don't go. Oh, I just hung up on Jim. Jim? Oh.
You should not push buttons that you don't know what they do.
I thought I was able to. Hold on. Jim Roop.
Yes, sir.
Hi there. Hey, we're having a bit of a day.
Apparently.
Okay, hold on a second. I'm gonna lock out your phone so you can't be dropped on this end. Don't go anywhere.
Okay.
Hi, Mike?
Yeah.
Jim?
Yes.
Okay, you're both here.
Fantastic.
All right. So, Jim Roop, hi, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, sir, thank you. How are you?
I'm fine. Are you under the gun time-wise, sir?
No, sir.
Okay. Then you can come in as we were just discussing pornography. And
oh, that's good.
We've got Mike here, a listener who works for a closed captioning company, and among his jobs at this company was to closed caption pornography.
And they did that.
It's totally true that they do that. And so I was saying that one of the things that's fascinating to me is not only the idea that someone has to sit there and listen to the porn and type in, like, yes, baby, oh, oh, you're the best, oh, give it to me so good, that, but then you watch a lot of porn from, like, the mid-90s, early 90s, and it's, and this is really weird, there'll be the woman on the screen, and she's whatever, she's, you know, enjoying herself, but then the moaning and the sound effects of the of her enjoyment are clearly, like, voiced over later by somebody else, like, in a room. Like, somebody clearly went into a studio and did ADR, and they just dubbed over the moaning, and it's like...
There's actually a fantastic film called The Fit, and if they were watching The Very Big Fish with Jeff Goldblum and Bob Hopkins, where Bob Hopkins' job is actually doing that, doing voiceover work for porn.
It's just fantastic. It's like a whole series of jobs that you never really knew existed.
I know.
Now, my first question is, why do they need to dub over the porn soundtrack?
Are you asking me? I'm not working on the set of the porn, you understand?
I guess maybe, like, I mean, it's like, how bad could your porn acting possibly be that you can't even moan convincingly, you know what I mean?
What I always understood is the director is constantly hovering over them, going like, no, no, pile driver now. No, go into the pile driver. And so, oh, that is the sentence of the day, by the way.
I don't even know what that phrase means, and here's the thing, I don't want to know.
No,
I don't want to know what that means. All right, well, Jim, we'll proceed with the news in a second. Mike, you had called up to say that you were moving to New York City.
Yeah, and all I wanted to do was just the first time I was scanning the radio stations in Portland, I found your show, several years ago, and it was the first thing that actually made me feel like I was at home instead of just visiting for an extended period.
Well,
thank you very much, sir.
Well, thank you. And you know what? And it is, you know, and I don't know, it sounds corny, but that means a lot. It really does. Because I will not go on and on at length, but people have heard this story from me a lot. And Bigger Than Jesus, we talk about this, I have totally, and most of us here, and I would say this is probably true for Tim, certainly, and maybe true for Sarah as well, most people who work in radio have had that moment. Jim, you probably have this, where you are maybe new to a city, you don't know anybody, you don't have any friends, you've just moved there, you don't know anything about the city where you live, and you turn on the radio, and you scan around, and you land on a show, or a voice, or a DJ, or whoever. And, and you feel like you got a connection. You feel like you kind of know somebody there.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely fantastic. Even though I seem to be the only one of your listeners that doesn't actually like Vizo, but I'm still buying the stuff anyway because I'm supporting the Rick Anderson show.
That, attention advertisers. thank you. Well, my friend, enjoy New York City. Have a good time. Be safe. And, of course, you can always listen to us online. You go to rickemerson.com or 970.am, and the podcasts are up there every day.
I shall do so. And now the news with Jim Roop.
Thank you, Mike.
Bye.
There you go. That's Mike, ladies
awesome.
And gentlemen. All right, fantastic. Hey, Jim.
Yes, sir.
Sorry about that. It was literally one technical difficulty, and then we were talking about porn. And
hey, I can move over for that. That's no problem.
That's okay. Really. Be sure to share that with CNN. That you're here to weigh in on the discussion of pornography. Hey, so we've been talking a lot because I'm just such a political nerd about this new primary in California. But it says right here, it turns out politicians may be more excited about California's new primary than voters. Recent polls says only half of likely voters think it's worthwhile to move the primary. And, of course, the politicians like this, right, because it moves up. I mean, it gets them in the public eye faster. It lets them. But, of course, it probably results in them having to, they have to probably raise more money earlier, I would imagine.
Well, the politicians in California look forward to it because more of the potential presidential candidates now will campaign in California before the primary because California will have now a real voice in who gets picked. Usually what happened was our primary was in June, so Iowa, the New Hampshire, all those primaries that are early, They come here to raise money, go back there and spend it, and by the time they got back here in June, they didn't need to spend any money here because the candidates were sort of locked. So now it looks like they're going to have to raise money here, then spend that money here, and really kind of pay attention to the issues that California faces and take that back to Washington, which is good for the political side of things. But as the people were saying, at least some of the voters, the likely voters, which means about 4% of all California, says, you know, that's a third election now. We're going to have three times we're going to have to go to the polls. I don't even really want to go once. Now we got to go three times, and is it really going to make a difference?
That's such a great American attitude. This democracy is hard work. I have to go vote three times? Damn. I could be home watching American Idol.
Well, you know, elections cost a lot of money, too, and the counties have to pay for the election. Although the governor says the counties will be reimbursed, no one knows really how long that'll take for that reimbursement. In the meantime, money has to be spent.
No, it's true. I guess I never really thought about that. That is, every time one of those elections happens, I guess it doesn't pay for itself. There's got to be... Now, you know what they ought to do? Here's how they can drive up the election rate. The election ought to be... what's the word I'm looking for? It ought to be a simultaneous election and lottery. You know what I mean? Everybody go and vote and uphold democracy and help make this a functioning republic. Plus, one lucky voter will get to go to Disneyland Europe. You know what I mean? You draw one.
Like, that's a great idea.
See? Rick Emerson, an endless font of ideas. One of the ballots gets drawn out. You win $500 at Red Lobster. You just pass that along.
You can even do that. Per precinct, one voter per precinct.
And here's the other thing. Here's the genius part of this. The genius part of this idea is that because since one does not need to pay to vote, voting is free, you need only be 18 years of age and a citizen, it's actually not even technically a lottery because there is no consideration. In other words, you don't have to pay. There is no purchase necessary. You don't have to pay. So I think you could actually probably... I think you could legally do that. Now that I think about it, because in radio you get lectured all the time about what constitutes a lottery and what doesn't. Like, you can't charge...
You could definitely have a drawing.
Yeah, you can't charge anybody to enter a radio contest, for example, because then that's called giving consideration and it becomes a lottery, it becomes illegal. If one lucky ballot is drawn and you win some crap, that's, I think, probably totally legal because there is no financial outlay required.
Hey, that's a great idea.
That's a great idea. God damn it.
That's a fantastic idea.
That's brilliant. Okay.
But you would have to make it one per precinct. Otherwise, somebody in Sacramento says, well, somebody in Los Angeles has a better chance than I have.
You do it once.
So you'd have to do each precinct.
You do it once per precinct, and then maybe even those people who win per precinct, they go up, and then there's like some grand elimination drawing and whatever, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, you work out the details, but I'm telling you, man, I'm pretty sure that could, and I'm pretty sure there's no law prohibiting that. You can, you know what, the next time you're talking to Schwarzenegger, you can pass that along as a Jim Roop original. And he's gone. Okay, bye now. He's gone. He's off. He's running off to tell somebody about the idea. That's Jim Roop. Chris, and if Jim Roop calls back, tell him that clearly fate is aligning against us today, and he should have a good weekend. The Rick Emerson Show wishes him well. Thank you. It's 5:00. Is it 1:30? Holy zombie Jesus. All right. I'm trying to see if I have anything amusing I can play into a break. Hold on. Trying to think, see if I have anything, if I have any hits of today that I can be, I'll play this. Here we go. We'll play this into the break. Let's see. It's the Rick Emerson Show. We'll be back.
Pull a chair or stool up within 3 feet of your exercise bench. Sit on the bench, put your legs up on the chair, and position your body so that it is raised above the bench by the palms of your hands, with your elbows locked. Lower your body towards the floor as far as you can and breathe in. Raise your body back up and breathe out. Beginners should aim for 8 dips, intermediates for 12, and advanced for 15. Ready? Go! Down, up, 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 8, up, 9, up, 10, up, 11, up, 12, up, 3 more, up, 2 more, up, last one, up, very good. Pendulum rows are an excellent exercise for the muscles in your upper and lower back. In strengthening your back muscles, you will reduce the risk of injury and back pain. With your feet at shoulder width, bend over and grip the barbell in an overhand grip. Raise your torso until it is parallel to the floor. Let the weight hang below you and be sure to keep your knees slightly bent. Stay in the same position. Lift the bar to your stomach and then lower it for a full repetition. Breathe out as the weight touches your stomach and remember not to let the weight touch the floor between reps. Be careful not to use too much weight. Ready?
It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming along. There was just blood all over my face, he said. It's 503-733-2970. I'm just going to repeat random phrases from this story throughout the day. He's worried about all the blood he swallowed when he was operating a jet machine to clean out the sewer. It's like five different bad things in that sense. In just a moment, we visit the Ministry of Truth with Tim Riley. Later on, Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.org. Clyde Lewis will be here as well. Don't forget, Rick Emerson Listener Party 10, Emerson History X, coming up April 19th, Thursday. At Barracuda, we are taking submissions for the logo for this, the official logo. If we choose your logo out of all the many thousands of submissions, you'll win a big pile of whatever, of something. So send your logo submissions to rick@rickemerson.com. Rich, hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Yeah, hi, Rick. You were talking to Trow earlier.
Yes.
And she was also Lieutenant Belaris, a Vulcan in Star Trek VI.
Is that true? Star Trek VI, the undiscovered whatever century?
Country.
Whatever. Is that the one that Shatner directed, right?
No, that was, he directed 5. This was the last one. I don't know who directed it.
The last one with the old crew before Generations.
Right.
Because it went whatever, Voyage Home. What was 5?
Final Frontier.
Final Frontier, Undiscovered Country, then Generations, then First Contact.
That's correct.
Then Insurrection. All right. Trying to make sure that my completely useless knowledge blade is still honed razor sharp.
So Kim
Cattrall was in the sixth one, and she played who?
She played Lieutenant Belaris. She was the Vulcan. She was Spock's protege, and he was kind of grooming her to be, the next science
grooming
officer
her.
Or something.
Spock was grooming somebody. That's hideous. All right.
I also wanted to know what the news was on the Sex and the City movie that you didn't talk about.
Sarah?
Oh, no, I guess they've signed all the papers and it's going to start being under production.
Awesome.
Which means it's actually happening because, I guess, the whole debacle with Kim Cattrall, she wanted more money and
right.
Yeah, and they weren't giving up. So I guess they've all came to, they all settled. And
well, she has them by the short hairs on that, though, because she's...
Not very much. I mean, it's taken, 4 years?
Yeah, but I mean...
Because they were all pissed at her. They all hate her because she's the only thing that halted production of that movie because they were going to film it right after the series was over.
But they can't do the movie without her.
Exactly.
That's the thing. That's why it's totally... I mean, I understand why she's being kind of an ass about it because it's like she's got... I don't mean disrespect, but she's like 50, right?
And she should be paid more. My God, the woman was naked half the time.
There's my sound coming from somebody's computer.
That was me.
All right.
Oh.
I'm sorry. Anyway, so Kim Cattrall's coming up on 50. They can't do the movie without her. She's got to know she's not going to get too many more sort of sex pod movie roles in the future. And she knows that there's a target audience for this film. I mean, the audience for Sex and the City will see it no matter how. I'm not saying it's going to be bad, but I'm saying even if it was, it's critic proof.
Mm-hmm.
They'll see it no matter what. And so she knows that she totally has the leverage and the upper hand. So, I mean, in this instance, I mean, you got to give it up to her. I say good for her for holding
actually,
out.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people were just mad at her because she's the one who halted it. But, I mean, she deserves a lot of money.
Totally. And, I mean, and it's like, you know what? And, again, I hate to just speak so bluntly about this, but being an aging actress in Hollywood, they'll kick her into a ditch as soon as they can. So she's got to, you know, you got to get it while you can. So, anyway, so that's the word. So they are moving forward with the Sex and the City movie, so says Sarah.
Thanks, Rick. You rule.
Thank you, my friend. All right, there you go. Called up to correct me on Star Trek and then went into Sex and the City. It is a rich pageant, this life of ours. It is 503-733-2970. Greg, what's up?
Hey, how's it going?
Hey.
Yeah, so I was going to tell you that election ID has already been done, or they tried to do it in Arizona.
Really? Where it doubled as a lottery?
Yeah, well, to get a bigger turnout for, like, I think national elections, and I think got blocked by Republicans. It was going to draw way too many undesirable votes, I believe.
And by undesirable, we mean those people.
Poor people, illegals.
Yes. Is that, and so did the Republicans, but I wonder if it actually got struck down by a court, or if the Republicans just sort of made a lot of noise and threatened to cause a ruckus about it.
You know, I don't really know. I remember seeing it on one of the Talking Head shows.
Interesting.
The guy came on thinking it was a great idea.
I don't know that it's a great idea for American democracy, but I'm sort of past caring about American democracy.
It's not really democracy when you only have like 30% of people come out to vote anyway, right?
Seriously, I don't know, but the phrase deck chairs on the Titanic comes to mind, you know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
So, there you go. So, anyway, okay, thank you. I'll have to look into that. Thank you, Greg.
All right, thank you.
All right, there are multiple Gregs here, so we'll go back to the phones in a while. At the present time, though, ladies and gentlemen, we go to the man who is your president, your prophet, your seer, and your revelator.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
It had faulty brakes. Remember that logging truck that plowed into a minivan, into SUVs along Cornelius Pass Road Tuesday? Sent all those people to the hospital, a couple of them still in serious condition. Well, it turned out that logging truck had faulty brakes and shouldn't have been on the road. It's enough to creep us all out. Everyone, look around and see if there's a logging truck right next to you. If there is, get out of the way.
It's log, it's snapping, it's rolling, you're dead.
Multnomah County Sheriff's Office released this report today outlining results of the investigation. Upon inspection, they found two of the six brakes to be out of adjustments.
You think of all the vehicles in the world. I mean,
this is a violation level condition. Yes, I would assume so.
I have
five people hurt when this logging truck rolled right into them.
I have a Ford Focus and I check my brakes, okay? Mm-hmm. My Ford Focus couldn't kill an ant. Good God almighty, that's terrifying. And where was this? Where
this happened on Cornelius Pass Road.
I'm not even really sure where that is.
Oh, that winds through my area.
Oh, I see. That would explain it.
You wouldn't be in that section.
I'm not invited to your section of town.
Oh,
right
come on
now.
Over. You're plenty of logging trucks there. They love Ford Focuses.
Come over. Drive late at night with your headlights off. That's just so terrifying.
So what is the, how often are these brakes inspected on these logging trucks?
Not often enough, it would seem. I mean, that's an oft-discussed fear on the show. But, you know, here's the thing. Our fear, we always just talk about being next to one of those trucks when the chain snaps and the logs come cascading down onto you and flatten you out into a little pancake. Mm-hmm. I never really considered the possibility that the freaking brakes might just fail and the truck itself would just smash into you.
Yeah.
Especially when carrying 500 tons of trees or whatever it is. That'll kill you dead. I'm surprised everybody in those, you say they're dead or they're alive?
No, they're alive. Two are still in serious condition as of today.
You think he'll ever leave the house again? Your ass gets hit by a logging truck. You order everything delivered to your home for the rest of your life. I would never walk outside again. Jesus.
Yeah, so it makes you wonder how often the brakes on these things are inspected.
Does it say how often?
It does not. I have no idea what... I don't know what the laws and procedures are for this. Is there a logging truck brake inspection association that does this type of thing?
You have to wait. Is it like every other? You have to wait for the mechanical squeal to start happening and then you look into it.
Mm-hmm. All right. That's that. Well, on the lighter side, off to Salt Lake City we go to WUTV Television. That's Channel 2 in Salt Lake City, where anchorman Mike Hedrick was caught on the air dozing off during John Goulet's weather forecast.
Doesn't look like much, but. But there's something out there.
Oh, hello, Mike.
We got him sleeping.
He You know what?
That was a good weather forecast, wasn't it? John kind of has that effect.
That was really good.
I have that effect on
Who's directing?
Doc, you will pay. You will pay.
You're supposed to tell us in our ears when it's time to wake up.
That was cute.
Usually I hear the 5-day forecast and then I snap out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. 7-day.
But he was in deep REM during the 7-day forecast.
That's a power nap.
I feel great.
That's Weather Guy Jenny. Where is that at?
Salt Lake City, WUTV, CBS 2.
Well, that doesn't make any sense. How could that be WUTV if it's in Salt Lake City?
I'm sorry, it's a K.
KUTV. Yeah, all right, okay. And so he was just told us...
He was sleeping on the anchor desk while the guy was doing
that's
the weather
so
forecast.
That's great. Hey, speaking of anchor desk, let me... Oh, wait, I'm sorry.
Are we getting one?
Anchor?
Yeah, I don't think we have any room on it.
I barely knew her.
All right. No, we're not getting an anchor desk. Now, listen to this, though. We were talking about the legend, about Anchorman, the Legend of Ron Burgundy, which is a film we all love.
Yeah.
On that, the Rick Emerson Show staff can all agree. Let's see if there's unanimity on this. Chris and Bowie, Anchorman, yay or nay? With Will Ferrell. Yay? Okay, excellent. So
that's
we're
one
agreed.
Of the funniest movies I've ever seen.
It's a fantastic movie. And I expected almost nothing. I didn't want Lara drag me to it because she loves Will Ferrell. And I don't. She's a big sucker. You know what Lara is? She's a sucker for, like, just big, dumb idiots. Insert joke. Insert joke here.
We don't have to. Let the audience insert the joke here.
Thank you. I'm sorry. But I mean, in terms of Adam Sandler, Chris Farley, I guess SNL idiots specifically, she's just a sucker for all of those guys. And Will Ferrell is the latest in a long line of blah, blah, blah. So she dragged me to see Anchorman. I'm like, it's not going to be funny. And it was goddamn hilarious is what it was. And I know it came out like a decade ago. But I mean, every time I see that movie... And not just him, it's the supporting cast, and it's the time to musk up. And it's that guy, and I Ate a Big Red Candle guy, and it's just,
Ate a Big Red Candle.
Thank you. I didn't anticipate that coming. Wait, hold on, do I have the,
It scares me how much we think alike sometimes.
It really is true. Do I have the,
Oh, it burns the nostrils.
In a good way.
I'm hearing a hum.
Yeah, no, the hum is dead at Sarah's computer.
Ate a Big Red Candle.
That name is Mike. That's Mike saying I have ate a big red candle.
It is, it's Mike. But I'm looking for that soundbite I downloaded that... Brian, I've got to tell you, that smells like pure gasoline. That, All right, well, whatever. Anywho, listen to what I'm saying now. This is about Anchorman. Did you know that Ron Burgundy... was actually modeled after a Portland anchorman from the 70s. That can't be true.
They say that in every city.
That's got to be it. I mean, that has to be true. In every city, they're like, that's based on something that happened here. That can't be true, that it would be Portland. Because we would have heard about that by now. Well, maybe we're just out of the loop. Who knows? All right.
I wish I would have never discovered this voice speaking thing.
I have many books that smell of rich mahogany. What?
It burns the nostrils.
Here's Tim Riley.
Well, chocolate bunnies and eggs aren't uncommon around the Easter season. How about a 6-foot-tall and anatomically correct sculpture of Jesus Christ in milk chocolate?
Because I've got my chocolate Jesus.
It's about to be unveiled in Jesus. I'm being punished. I am being punished for laughing.
Jesus is striking you in aphasia right now.
Well, there's a statue of this in New York City. It's about to be unveiled. Up comes the Catholic League, but not William Donahue. He has an assistant now. Her name is Kira McCathery. Let's see what she has to say.
I bet
she's hot. This chocolate Jesus.
Would they do similar things to other groups? I doubt it. Would they show a statue of Muhammad naked during Ramadan?
Marsh Muhammad. Marshmallow Muhammad.
I have no problem doing this to Christians. And this isn't something in a little Soho gallery that isn't very well known. This is at the Roger Smith Hotel. This is a gallery lab on the first floor, street level, prominent place. They're normalizing these sort of attacks.
I bet she is hot as...
you get a chocolate cross at the dollar store.
Not.
I was... No, she is...
Remember last year for Easter, I took a picture of the chocolate... it was our centerpiece at my grandma's...
Yeah, no, that guy, the listener, Lauren, brought us all those chocolate crosses last year.
Yeah, they have them at the dollar store this year. I just saw them.
Really?
Yeah.
She sounds... But let's back to my special friend. She sounds unbelievably hot.
Would they do similar things to other groups? I doubt it. Would they show a statue of Muhammad naked during Ramadan? I don't think so, but yet they have no problem doing this.
Doesn't she sound like
and this isn't something in a little
no,
Soho
she sounds
gallery.
Like she sound like a pretty little thing?
Frigid woman.
This is the
she sounds
Capitoline. This is a
no, that's true,
on the first floor.
She probably is frigid, but...
A prominent place. They're normalizing this sort of these sort of attacks.
I kind of find
chocolate
that alluring.
Jesus.
I kind of find sweet chocolate Jesus.
Chocolate Jesus.
But we had Lauren bring us those chocolate crosses last year, right?
Yes.
And one of them was a chocolate crucifix, I'm pretty sure.
That's the one. No, that's the one I took to Bremerton. Use as the centerpiece for my family's dining.
Well, now they have them in white chocolate this year.
For people who are mourning the lack of white Jesus, let's talk about several things. A, I miss William Donahue. I love that guy. I hope he doesn't retire from public statements. Because I love that, because at any moment you feel like he's going to have a stroke and die in front of you. This is just another way for the liberals to get rid of religion. Dead. One dead Catholic right there. B, she does sound hot, and here's the anecdotal evidence for that. Whatever it is, a word like that, whatever it is I'm trying to say. Because that's the thing now. If you're just some fascist, you get a hot blonde. To go on, who is that new, have you seen that new girl that is the Republican, she's the new Ann Coulter, and it's not Michelle Malkin. She's some new Republican babbling blonde.
No, I haven't seen her.
She's been on Fox recently, I forget her name. She's hot, though. As Donna might have been saying recently, she is hot as balls. She is just stunningly beautiful. And just a total Republican wing job. But just hot. So I bet that this girl is hot too. I bet she's a hot blonde frigid Catholic who needs a dose of sweet man love to thaw her icy exterior. Also, it's about time for somebody to be bringing us some more chocolate Jesuses, or Jesus, as they say in college. So if you, 2040 Southwest First, if you'd like to bring us some chocolate.
I'll see if I can find some this week. I saw them at the dollar store.
I'm not asking people to give us things. I'm just saying if you already have them and you're driving around looking for us, we're at 2040 Southwest First. For your chocolate Jesuses. There really ought to be a chocolate Jesus and a marshmallow Muhammad. Kind of like how there's Frankenberry and Count Chocula.
Marshmallow Muhammad.
Marshmallow Muhammad. Who else are there? What other prophets are there? Allah. There'd be a...
what does he look like?
Almond Allah. Or I was just going to say, what does Allah look like? No, Allah is God. But it's a Muslim God, right?
Yeah, it's a different one than the regular one.
Chocolate Jesus. Marshmallow Muhammad. Oh, this is okay, but you go the other way with Allah. It would be like,
is there a Kwanzaa garb?
We'll get to that in a second. It would be like a lot of chocolate or a lot of what would it have? Like a lot of nuts.
Burning.
A lot of nuts. You would have some topping that there
yes,
was a lot of.
A lot of nuts.
A lot of flavor. It was something. There would be a copious amount of some flavoring. It would be a lot of whatever. Cherries. Marshmallow. Something. Kwanzaa. No, Kwanzaa's not a god. I think that's a holiday. Kwanzaa's not a... We don't pray to Kwanzaa. Kwanzaa's not a god, is he?
I don't know who he is.
We should stop now.
He's a made-up god.
I thought that was great when the CBS News Department declares that your god is made up. All right. Let's move forward before we're all killed by someone. I'm going to leave out the back door today. Here's Tim Riley.
From the nation's midsection comes this from Sioux City, Iowa. Planting too much corn in Iowa isn't necessarily a very good idea.
The U.S. Agriculture Department says a record is about to be broken when
it
comes to planting corn. Farmers plan to dedicate more land to maize this year than at any time since 1944. An Iowa agriculture specialist says planters may be placing all of their seeds in one basket.
When we just depend on one thing, I think we are increasing our exposure to risk significantly.
Dr. Amawoka Deliso teaches agriculture at Western Iowa Tech. He adds that the environment could take a hit if the practice continues for more than a few years. Kevin Vandenberg reporting from Sioux City.
Isn't that right, donkey?
In other news today, Arizona's Attorney General Terry Goddard will host a free shred-a-thon this Saturday in the Granite Reef Senior Center in Scottsdale. Bring all your old stuff, they'll shred anything.
Encourage people to bring in whole boxes of financial records that they have been storing long past the time that they need them. We advise no more than 7 years for financial record.
I am calling dibs on that right now. Kwanzaa corn. That's a great idea. Thank you. I am calling dibs on that right now. Tim pointed this out before we started. He's like, I've got the greatest story about shredding. That is such a great idea. The shred-a-thon?
Yes.
Who doesn't love to shred things?
I love it.
I love... You own a shredder, right?
I did. I mistakenly did my car registration last year. And I had to...
Did you get too into it?
Oh, I got too into it, and I just grabbed everything that was in the box. I didn't bother checking after a while.
Give me more paper!
I didn't want to break my momentum.
What is this? I don't know. Shred it anyway! Right through. It's so true. It can be so satisfying. I've done that before. I've done it, not here, but at Coin. We were at the other building.
Mm-hmm.
Late at night, I'm just like cleaning out my desk, and it's just stumbling. I'm like, well, I should shred this. You know, and really, you don't need to. You could just throw it in the trash. Why not shred, though? Shred the night away. And so later on, I'd be like, okay, where's that earphone? It was just sitting there, and you just shredded it all. And let me just say this. Now, my wife and I have been talking about, Laura and I need a shredder, because,
They're only $10.
It's true.
It's not a major purchase. They're like an appliance.
They really give them away with a tank of gas now. A shredder. Shredder?
I barely knew her.
And so we went to Office Max a while back. And they've got these shredders. Have you seen that? And they've got the ones on there. They shred DVDs and they'll shred credit. They'll shred paper clips. They'll shred anything.
Oh, I want one of those.
Have you not seen the new ones?
No.
Okay, you go. Let me
I didn't think they could be made any better.
No. Tim Riley, technology, American ingenuity marches on. I would encourage you to go to. There may be. Do we have a client that sells shredders? I would hate to think I'm directing somebody.
I don't think so.
Whatever. There's not a client. Well, whatever. Go to Fry's. Whatever of your choice.
Go. Unless Jiggles sells shredders on the side.
Come try one of our lovely shredders. Come.
Our shredders have been waiting all day for you.
Would you like to
relax with a drink in front of the shredder?
Come have a conversation with one of our lovely shredders.
Try a lap shredder.
Anyway, I went to the Office Max, though, and shredders have come a long way since the last time I went shopping for things like
How
that.
How much further have they come?
Now, look, for even the low-level shredders now, I'm saying a shredder that's like $60, $70 or so. They have this special slot in the back. You can put a CD-ROM into it, and it'll just destroy it. Credit cards it'll destroy, staples, paper clips. They will shred all of that and paper, and it's done. Not all the dispensers. It's like $100. They're fantastic. I mean, and they've got like, they've got the waste baskets are a lot easier. I'm getting a little excited. The waste baskets are a lot easier to take out and put back in now than they used to be. It's really the fact that it'll shred CD-ROMs that impresses me. I don't even really need to shred CD-ROMs, but I want to now. I want to go home and shred CDs all day.
If we had a shredding party, I have just like boxes of papers that I don't need that I just carry around because I don't want to throw them in the garbage.
Well, here's the other thing is Laura and I see guys, and usually they're just homeless guys looking for bottles, but it's like we see guys going through our trash all the time. Mm-hmm. And again, normally it's just some guy who wants some aluminum to recycle for beer money or whatever, and that's fine. I don't care. But, you know, it is a little unnerving that there's some guy rummaging through your crap. And so it would be so... The only reason disturbing. The only reason I haven't gotten a shredder, do you want to know the only reason? Is because as we were looking for shredders, I was looking on the internet, and I read this story about, maybe apocryphal, but about how occasionally now they're having some problems with family pets. And it's like, well, you get, no offense, but some idiot dog. And the dog will think that there's something good in the shredder, and they'll get the tip of the tongue caught in the shredder, and then you got to like take them to the vet,
and you put the shredder up on the counter.
Well, that's the thing is I don't have a counter anywhere to put it, so I'd have to find I would have to keep it in a room that was always locked.
Yeah.
I don't have any way to elevate it, and the way that they're set up, it doesn't cause any real injury.
No,
but you just come home and the dog's got a dumb look on his face because he was trying to lick one of the shredder rollers or something, and then that's all kinds of embarrassing. So But anyway, these shredders they got now for like $100, it's like how you used to have to pay thousands of dollars for a computer. It was the size of a car, and it would take 10 days to do single-digit addition. Now, it's like you fill up your tank of gas, and they give you a credit card-sized calculator that can calculate the quadratic equation in 5 milliseconds. I mean, it's amazing. So shredders, as you can tell,
Shredder.
I'm a big...
I barely knew her.
Thank you. And it's true, when you get a shredder, you will spend all night, the first two, three, five nights, shredding things. Am I the only one that gets excited when you go by those industrial shredding trucks downtown? And they have the little window in the side of the truck so you can see the interior of the truck, how it's all like halfway full of confetti.
I'd love to jump in one.
It would be fantastic. Okay, so I have made a note. I have dropped an email to Susan Reynolds. I am calling dibs on the idea of a shredding party here in Portland. It's not original. They did it in Arizona. But I am laying claim to this as far as kooky radio personalities in Portland. We are going to be doing a shredding party. I'll find a reason to do it. All right. I swear to God, I'm looking at the screen here, and it's just comments about Allah and chocolate treats and logging trucks killing people. That really is the
show. That is what we talk about.
Those are our people. Should we break?
Yes.
All right. We'll take a break here. Come back. More Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth. Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com. This show is all... There's so much extreme...
I'm overzealous with my...
It's all the talk of shredding.
Yes.
It's got you all amped up.
It is.
Isn't that right, Donkey?
Like a kid in a shredding store.
The show is just nothing but ambient clanks and bumps today. Back after this, the Rick Emerson Show.